Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If you're in your living rooms or houses, bedrooms, wherever you find yourself, amen. Well, stand with me and we're just going to continue. I'm going to open up a prayer. So I'm going to ask if you may stand with me one more time. Exercise a little bit more. Here this Friday, there's that saying that goes, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. So we're just going to stay standing the whole service. It's exercise. How many want exercise? How many can say amen? Be faithful and obedient. Just pray with me here this night. Father, right now, in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus, we come before you, all of us, Lord God, those that are here. And I pray for those watching online. And I ask simply, Holy Spirit, that you empower the lives of those that are watching. And I pray here this night, Lord, that you remove distractions. That we be able, Lord, to relate to your word, grab our Bibles, our pens and notepads, or however we can take notes that we receive of your spirit, Lord God. Speak into our lives. I pray here this night, allow me to just simply portray this message clearly, effectively, fearlessly, boldly as I should. Open hearts, speak to our lives. Holy Spirit, have your way, Lord, in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Why don't you type amen here this beautiful Friday night? Hallelujah. Well, you can go ahead and have your seats here this night. Just real quick, want to make mention, as Brother Jason was sharing, a lot of good announcements, a lot of good things going on here in Victory Outreach Milwaukee and also in Victory Outreach International. So listen here this night. Don't miss out, amen, on what we have to offer. And how many know we had a great time last Sunday? We were outside. The Lord blessed us with beautiful weather. So we want to take advantage of that. We have a beautiful property, a beautiful facility. So invite somebody, amen. Come, don't just come by yourself, but invite somebody. And then we pray that there will be good weather again. But we're going to plan for both areas. And as Brother Jason was sharing so well, that we're going to be more than well prepared for both occasions. Well, here this night, I just want to thank the Lord for my salvation. As Brother Jason was sharing, I've been saved for 10 years, but I consider myself really 8 years, going on maybe nine, but 8 years serving here in Victory Outreach Milwaukee is where the Lord really just did a great work in my life. I'm just grateful for all that the Lord has done and all that he will do. And here this night, I just also want to thank my pastors, my senior pastor, Pastor Charlie, and Sister Marlene, the whole Reino family, just for being there in position, being available. Amen. How many believe that we have the best pastors, that we have the great shepherds? Amen. Just watching over our lives here this night. I also just want to thank my wife just for always being there. Amen. Going through this season with me and locking arms. I just want to say I love you. I know she's there watching and taking care of our little daughter. So keep us in prayer. There's another, maybe a little junior on the way. But keep us in prayer. I'm just grateful to the Lord. And lastly, amen, Victory Outreach Milwaukee. Just want to say I love you. Amen. Those that have been with us and part of the ride, how many know it's been a good ride? And it's only going to get gooder and gooder. Praise God. If you have your Bibles, just turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We're not going to read the scriptures yet. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I just want you to grab your Bibles, have them ready. As Brother Jason was sharing, that I pray that you have your Bibles there next to you. I'm going to have your Bibles. Your iPhones don't count. Your tablets don't count. Amen. You don't want to be looking at Facebook and then trying to look at the Bible throughout the same area. So I encourage you. I went and I got myself I switched over to the New Living Translation. It's leather bound. It has reference. It's just a simple Bible, but I like it. So I could bring it up here with me. And I just encourage you, have your Bible that you say, this is my Bible. How many still believe in bringing your Bible? I mean, how many are take pride in just saying, this is mine? So that's how we should be with our Bibles. I'm going to share this already. Someone said this. There's three types of people. Ones that are afraid. Ones that don't know enough to be afraid. And the ones that know their Bibles. So hear this night, I ask you if you know your Bible. Amen. Do you know your Bible? 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's begin in verse 1. We're going to read all the way through verse 9. And might be a short message. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Beginning in verse 1, if you're there, read with me here this Friday night. This is the Apostle Paul speaking to the church in Corinth. And this is the second letter he wrote in chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. He says, "This boasting will do no good, but I must go on. I will reluctantly tell about visions and revelations from the Lord. I was caught up in the third heaven 14 years ago." So keep that in mind. "Whether I was in my body or out of my body, I don't know. Only God knows. Yes, only God knows whether I was in my body or outside my body. But I do know that I was caught up to paradise and heard things so astounding that they cannot be expressed in words. Things no human is allowed to tell." Verse 5. He says, "That experience is worth boasting about. But I'm not going to do it. I will boast only about my weakness. If I wanted to boast, I would be no fool in doing so because I would be telling the truth. But I won't do it because I don't want anyone to give me credit beyond what I can see, what they can see in my life or hear in my message." In verse 7. "Even though I have received such wonderful revelations from God, so to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud." Verse 8. "Three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, 'My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness.'" Amen. Praise the Lord. And here this night, I just want to share a thought with you if I can. And I want to speak really to those that you've been following the Lord. I want to speak to the church. Amen. I know that we preach the gospel and we go out. The women will be going out. Some of the men will be going out tomorrow there to Code Red and to reach those that have been hurting. And there's always hurting people. I believe that you and I at one point were hurting. How many can say amen? I know that I can speak for myself that I was just lost, no purpose, no direction. Maybe I wasn't hurting, but I had no vision, no guidance. So I needed someone to just simply present the gospel. And so I want to speak to you here this night. At the same time, if those that are there, maybe you're tuning in for the first time, you may not know of the Lord, I just pray that you stay logged in, stay tuned in. Be a quick message. You know, we watch movies for 2-3 hours nowadays. We could watch Facebook online. So many videos that take up so much of our mind. But they don't feed the Spirit. They're not feeding us the right way. So I pray that by the end of this simple message, you simply just come to know what the Lord has to offer within your life. And so I pray that my goal right now is just to convey to you, the church, of why we need God's grace. I just simply want to convey here this night of why we need God's grace. So I was getting ready to put this message together and contemplating what to do, what to, you know, go about. I know this verse is from the Lord, and I feel that God has placed it simply within my heart just to simply share that area of God's grace and why we need God's grace. Because how many can say that apart from God's grace, we would not make it? I dare say in our best day, apart from the Lord, we will not make it. And if you're here and you're like me and you simply say, you know what, I want to build. I'm here to lock arms. I'm here to go forth. Pastor, I'm here to build a vision. Pastor, I'm here to do what's within your heart. And we have even our own very own promise scriptures here for Victory Outreach Milwaukee. We have Genesis 1:28, where the God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and multiply." We have Hebrews 3:4, where it says, every house has a builder, but the Lord built everything. So we have our very own promises. And within that, in order to continue going forth, there's this area that will always be needed within our lives, and that's called God's grace. That's called God's grace. So I look at that. It was, Hebrews 3:4. I wanted to make sure I was right. Before I share this, I just have a couple points and then we're just going to call it a night. But before I share my main points, why did he need God's grace? Why was Paul emphasizing this area? And notice that I began by reading that the Apostle Paul, he could have said, I could boast about what I have seen. He could have said and took it his time and been in the right of saying, I can boast in the area that God has shown me. I can boast in all these things and all the things that I have accomplished and all that the Lord has done in and through my life. I can boast in many miracles. I can boast in many churches that I have planted. I can boast in things that the Lord showed me that no one else might have seen. But he goes on to say, I'm not going to boast about those areas. I'm not going to speak about that area because it's not going to be relevant. It's not going to connect within their lives and what they needed. I think someone said, hopefully I get this right, if you want to impress somebody, tell them your succeedings. Tell them your accomplishments. If you want to impact somebody, tell them your failures. And I believe too many times we don't speak about our failures. We just walk around. We want to, you know, say that everything's okay. And praise God, I serve a living God. I know how to hold my head up high throughout trials. But I also know how to say that, you know what? I need the Lord's help. I can also be transparent and say, apart from the Lord, I am nothing. I can also be transparent and say, I go through things. I go through seasons and hardships, that I'm not exempt from these areas. But one thing that I do is I continue to trust in God's grace. And I believe that is what Apostle Paul had to convey upon his church. And what makes this all interesting, that the simple background is all the way in chapter 12. Before he had to give this explanation, this is the second letter that he sent to the church there in Corinth. Now mind you, it was a church that was full. The city around it was full of immorality. The city around it was full of deception and greed. And as the Apostle Paul was able to plant not just any church, but a thriving church. And I believe that in Victory Outreach Milwaukee, there should be no excuses. There should be no excuses that yes, they granted there's a pandemic, a virus, there's riots and all this going on, but there should be no excuses of you and I being able to build according to the Lord. There should be no excuses within my mind of what God wants to do in and through our lives. Because if you read the same Bible that I read, the Apostle Paul was able to be effective. He was able to build. He was able to accomplish great works for the Lord, even though there was many obstacles, even though he could have pointed the finger over here, even though he could have said, it's not going to work. I can't plant a church there with those type of people. How many know that we need God's grace? How many are grateful that your pastor has given you another chance and a second chance and a third chance? How many are grateful that your pastor still calls you and still tries to connect with you and still tries to work with you and still tries to deal with you? Because the Apostle Paul at this moment, he had to write a letter to this church because they were struggling in many issues. They were struggling in issues that are still coming to this day. They were struggling in issues of wondering who to follow. They were struggling in issues of wondering who's teaching the right way, who's teaching the wrong way. He had to address many issues of false teachers. He had to address many issues of people questioning his authority. He had to address issues of people questioning whether to tithe or not to tithe. It's still common. I just tithe. That's it. I don't question it. But here this night, he had to focus on an area because this letter, most of all, was strictly written because that church was struggling. You see, false teachers that came in and people started believing what others were saying and people started questioning the authority of Paul. People started saying, their own church started saying, is he really this man that he claims to be? He writes these great and fancy words, but in person, he seems like someone else. And to me, we could say that here about the church, and is Victory Outreach Milwaukee really all that it's cut out to be? Is it really doing what others are saying? Is it really worth the drive? Do I really have to do all these errors? And people may question. And if you find yourself thinking about that here this night, my friend, I just want to let you know that the enemy is a liar here this night. And you see, the Apostle Paul had to address these issues. And he had to write to them. And on one letter, on that specific letter, you can read it on your own. He even had to say, I was almost sorrowful that I wrote you this letter, because it was so harsh. He says, but it was for your own good. And I'm glad that you read it. I'm glad that you received it, because it brought you to a place of repentance. I believe here this night that that's an area we cannot neglect within our lives. The area of repentance, but I don't want to go there right now. So the Apostle Paul, speaking to that church there in Corinth, and he's doing so and defending of what others are saying, defending his own authority and letting them know how to address issues, letting them know what to do in certain situations. How many are grateful that we have a pastor that is able to guide? We have a leadership that is able to push forth. There is momentum in the church, and you can continue to jump on board, and we will take you the right way. And so before we get to this portion, right before the previous chapter there in chapter 11, the Apostle Paul does something that not that many people do. And he just simply boasts about all the struggles that he went through. And he has a list. If you want to be encouraged, read that chapter. Because too many times we think that an encouragement is a good word. We think that encouragement is a happy word. We think that an encouragement is just something that makes me feel good, but it's not. Encouragement, in all reality, really, is knowing in the face of adversity, I will go forward. Encouragement, all it really is knowing that though all these areas, though maybe hell itself surrounds me, the Lord is with me. But it's knowing that within your heart. And my question is, are we able to rely on God's grace here this night? Because I dare say that if we did, there'd be so many more people joining in. There'll be too many people on Sunday service that we wouldn't have enough chairs to sit outside. We would have to have service both inside and outside if there was a people that believed and relied on God's grace. And that's what I want to get to here this night, because as the church, we have to know that yes, although there's an enemy, that yes, although there's trials and struggles, my friend, do not forget about God's grace within your life. Because that's the one area that will keep us driving forth. That's the one area that we will never run short of, is God's grace. And that's what the apostle knew that they needed to understand. Right before this, he gives a list and he says, listen, this is what I did to get to you. So it wasn't easy building this church. It wasn't easy maybe even trying to call some people. Amen. Can I go there for a little bit, right? Some people ignore phone calls. Some people, you know. But it's done out of love. Just simply to get you to know God's grace. Simply so that we can say, listen, we want you to worship with us. We know you're going through a trial. Just join the party. We've been going through trials. Matter of fact, you know, put them behind you. Help me carry my trial, and then I'll help you carry your trial. And that's how we do it, and that's how we battle, and that's how we build, and that's how we go forward. And the Apostle Paul, instead of saying, I can boast in all the good things that I've done, he said, 14 years ago, and if you want for yourself, you don't have to take me at my word. That's why we encourage you to grab your Bibles and do something that's called reading your Bibles. Amen. Praise God. I was sharing this morning with a group of us on the way here to the church that I was reading a book by Leonard Ravenhill, and he shared that too many people nowadays, we act like we need to be great theologians. We act like we need to read and understand all of the Bible and break it down and go get 20 translations and commentaries and Hebrew and Greek, and we don't even understand the English version, and we're trying to understand the Greek version. And too many people are trying to become theologians. And what does this mean when Leonard Ravenhill said the Bible was simply meant to be, first of all, believed, and second of all, obeyed? And that's all it takes for the Lord to step into your life. I read the Bible once, I believed it, and then I applied it. And I believe that's why too many times we have trouble, because God deals with our lives. There's another saying that goes, don't just read your Bible, let your Bible read you. Many times I believe we're just skipping through, but are we letting that Bible read us? There's someone, as Leonard Ravenhill also said, too many times we just know the Word of God, but we don't know the God of the Word. I'm trying to get you to understand who God is. That yes, He's a forgiving God, He's a graceful God, but He's someone that never leaves you, the Bible says. Someone that never leaves you nor forsakes you. And I'm trying to get you to stay in the race, to jump back in the race, to remain in the race, to push forward in the race, to do whatever it takes to not forget about who God is, to not forget about God's grace within your life, to not forget that yet, though there will be many trials, then praise God, even Jesus Himself said, in this world you will have trials, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Let us not forget what the Bible says. Let us not forget what the Bible teaches. I believe with all my heart within these times we're living in. And all you have to do is look outside, walk outside, and see the end times before us. See how people are just getting colder and colder. See how people are just neglecting and finding any excuse. And now how much easier not to come and gather together. If you come this Sunday, I'll give you a hug and I'll shake your hand. I'm not afraid of anything because I know that the Lord is with me. And as the Apostle Paul was sharing, he shared all these areas and he shared, listen, this is what I've done to get to you. He said, I've been whipped 3 times. I received the 39 lashes 4 times. I was beaten with rods. I was pelted with stones. I spent a night at sea. He said, one time I neither saw the sun nor the moon. That's what I've been through. He wasn't worried about what are we eating, where are we staying at, what time is service, how long is this going to last. He was saying, this is what I've been through, preaching the gospel. Those listening here this night, many of us have been arrested. Many of us have been behind bars, in a cop car. You know what those handcuffs feel like. But that was for doing wrong. Would you be arrested for doing right, for preaching the gospel? I mean, with all that's going on and all the controversy, I just want to get us back to the gospel of Jesus Christ. That there was a man that died 2,000 years ago so that you and I could be set free of this area called sin. And as we continue to walk with the Lord, as we continue to go forth and overcome trials and overcome struggles and overcome temptations, we will need God's grace within our lives. And Paul understood this. He said, 14 years ago, the Lord showed me this. And as He showed me this, because it was too great for me to hold on to, He also had to put something on the side. He also, in a way, had to put a disclaimer. And He said, this area troubled me day and night. This area tormented me every single time I was trying to build a church. I was tormented by this area. Every single time I was trying to disciple, I was tormented by this area. Every single time I was trying to get into prayer, I was tormented by this area. But nevertheless, God's grace was by His side. How many are grateful here this night that God's grace is always available to you here this night? And Paul understood this. He was able to share, listen, this is all that I've been through just to get to you, just so that you can hear the gospel. In his letter, he wrote, I did everything to not be a burden to you. I did everything so there will be no false pretensions against me. I did everything so there will be no false arguments against me. And if you don't even believe that area, he said, I could boast about what the Lord has shown me, but I'm not going to speak about that. He said, what I am going to speak about is the grace of God. And that's all I want to share with you here this night. I'm going to share a couple little points and we'll close off. The first thing I want to share is whenever we receive something great from the Lord, it comes with a price. Whenever we receive something great from the Lord, it comes with a price. And I believe too many are not willing to pay the price. But we pray for blessings. How many pray for blessings? Yet we're not willing to pay the price for that blessing. Maybe some of you're praying to get married. You do not know what you're praying for. Praise the Lord. It comes with a price. It's a good price. Paul's the one that even said, the Apostle Paul's the one that said, I ask that you remain like me, but if you want to, you can get married. He said it for a reason. The man understood. Within this area, we also learn that because the Apostle Paul, and because you and I, in a stance, because the Apostle Paul was going to deal with people that had issues. Wave at me if you have issues right there in your houses. I mean, keep your hand up, some of you. Amen. I know your issues. Some of you don't think you got issues. You're trying to deny it right now. I have issues. Look at my hand. I have issues. Because he was going to deal with people that had issues. So he needed the grace of God himself. He needed to have something to give. You can't give something you don't have. He needed the grace of God to give to others as he was going to deal with people with issues. And you and I, we have issues. The Bible calls us sheep. We're not compared to any other animal but a sheep, and a sheep is known to be stubborn. Can somebody say amen? So you and I need the grace of God. This is why our shepherd is important. He has an important role to play. That he needs the grace of God, that we need to keep him in prayer, so that he may learn how to deal with us stubborn people. Stiff-necked people, the Bible says. Even though God gave him something he didn't ask for. You see, Paul didn't ask to receive these great revelations. Paul didn't ask to receive this great area. But the Lord allowed him to receive it. And even though God gave him something he didn't ask for, God also gave him the solution. The Lord always knows what's best for us. And somebody say, humble pie is always good for the soul. See, Paul understood there's something great the Lord has given me. Not only does it come with a price, but there's also a solution to this area. And he said, in order for me to be kept being proud, that's why the Bible says that knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. He said, in order for me to be kept from becoming proud, the Lord also allowed this area to happen within his life. You see, God himself allowed this messenger from Satan to torment him. We don't know exactly what it was. And that really, in all reality, it does not matter what it was. It doesn't matter if it was whatever commentaries people say, a bad eye or a bad back because of all that he went through. What matters is that Paul knew how to rely on the grace of God. See, you have to understand that he started by saying 14 years ago, God gave me these revelations. And at the same time he gave me these revelations, he allowed me to understand. In other words, he was saying, God said, listen, I'll show you something. You want to get saved. You want to serve God. You want to be in full-time ministry. You want to do big and great things. Go ahead, do these things. I'll allow you to do these things, but don't forget the one that brought you there. Don't forget the only one that you'll need in times of trouble. Don't forget, listen, my friend, here this night, people may fail you, I may fail you, it doesn't matter, but the Lord himself will never fail you here this night. And that's what Paul understood. It was the grace of God that allowed him to understand this area. That word torment means extreme pain or anguish of body or mind. I don't think very few of us have been in extreme pain or anguish of body or mind. That's why in the home, they're going to do a whole nother year. They're all in agreement. They have to go through some extreme pain if they want to see the grace of God. It means extreme pain or anguish of body or mind. Listen, being quarantined for 3 months is not no extreme pain. It was extreme pleasure for some of you. Just watching TV, eating popcorn, microwave dinners, and driving to here. You're not supposed to be socializing. You broke every rule. Socialize with your friends. All of a sudden, you want to come to church and social distance. Oh. That word torment means extreme pain or anguish of body or mind. It means agony, a source of vexation or pain, the infliction of torture. None of us have been in this area in the things of the Lord. We were there for the world. We can all relate in this area of torment in the world, losing our money, gambling in the rents away, losing all these areas, and being threatened, being chased down, and all these things, and your family. And so we were tormented in the world. But to be tormented in the things of the Lord by doing right. And I want to bring out this picture because when this happens, I see too many people leave the race. See too many people jump out. And I believe it's because they don't rely on the grace of God. Listen here this night, all I've done and all I have ever continued to do is rely on the grace of God. There's areas that I don't understand. There's areas that I say I'm not even going to try to understand. But I do just need to understand God's grace. I just do need to receive a little more of God's grace. How many want a little more of God's grace here this night? Another word for torment is affliction, agonize, anguish, excruciate, or persecute. Have you been in affliction lately? Have you been agonized lately? Has there been some anguish within your life? Could it possibly be the Lord is trying to pour some grace into your life? Because listen, apart from this, we will not ask the Lord for grace. We will not ask the Lord for grace. Verse 7 reads, even though I have received such wonderful revelations from God, so to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. I want to read something really quick. Paul knew how to rely on the Lord. He had to do all this, even though he was being tormented. But I want to bring out another point. This is my point. You have to go through trials to understand God's grace. Though God's grace means unmerited favor, here I want to rely it to the power of God. Here God's grace simply means that God himself was sufficient to what Paul needed. And my question to you is, what do you need? Because God gives grace in time of need. So we do we need grace? Why would we need grace if we're not even doing the work of God? Why would we need grace if we are not even in a trial? This grace was for a power to overcome a trial. So hear this not, are you in a trial? Because if so, then welcome to Christianity. If so, just get in the race. Welcome to the party. And put a check line on that trial and be happy and rejoice and say, you know what? I overcame this trial. The Bible says, by the word of the testimony and the blood of the Lamb, I overcame. And I'm grateful that the Lord was with me. I was able to rely on God's grace. I was able to rely on God's power. You know what? I can't even wait for another trial. Because I know that in the next trial, if God was with me then, how much more will God be with me now? That's the importance of learning God's grace. That's why he allowed Paul to go through this trial. He knew this, and I can't let you become proud. I can't let you become boastful. So I'm going to allow this to happen within your life. What has the Lord been allowing to happen within your life? The step that we stop at is too many times we don't rely on the grace of God. Apostle Paul said 3 times, I begged the Lord to take it away. It's interesting. The more I thought about it, why was it 3 times? The same 3 times that Jesus prayed to God the Father. We don't read the answer that Jesus got. Could it possibly be that God the Father told Jesus himself, my grace is all you need? Could it possibly be that God the Father told Jesus 3 times, my power works best in weakness? That's why the Lord maybe was able to tell Paul, listen, Paul, I know what you're going through. Listen, Paul, that area, all you need is a little bit of grace within your life. I mean, what are you going through? Hear this line that others have not gone through already. What are we going through that is not written in the Word of God already? What are we? There is no surprise. The Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. What we need to understand is God's grace. That's the only thing that's going to keep us moving forward. How much you know can make you proud. The Lord knows how much we can handle. Do we need the power of God? Are we doing the work of God? Listen, you only need the power of God when you're doing the work of God. Otherwise, there's no reason for God to bestow grace if we're not doing anything. And I believe a lot of us have felt the need. A lot of us have been in that trial. And we didn't continue to press in. We didn't continue to rely on God's grace. Why would God give grace and favor to someone not doing his work? If you've been in this area, it simply means you were doing God's work. What's interesting about this is a lot of people mistake and they say, I need grace when they fall short and they're in sin and there's these areas and maybe at times it's a little too late. We have to catch up and start over just to continue. I mean, it's not too late just to jump back in the race. But here, Paul didn't need grace because he was in sin. Paul needed grace because he was doing the work of God. He wasn't in sin, he was in torment. By doing the will of God himself. By doing the will of the Father. There's a difference between needing God's grace because of the condition to our lives and needing it to accomplish God's will. And I believe that the Lord is wanting simply to pour out his grace of those that are wanting and ready to accomplish his will. And that's my message here this night. That God sees a faithful people. And wherever you find yourself, how whatever may have happened within your life, maybe at one point you were in the race. Maybe at one point you were preaching the gospel. But somehow we let go of the grace of God. Paul's the one even himself who wrote, what happened? Who stepped in? You were doing such a good job. I mean, Paul goes on to say, I read somewhere, I'm never going to forget this. He said, as soon as he got saved, he went out, he preached the gospel, but as soon as he got saved, he went to the desert and he went to Arabia and he separated himself for 3 years. That's why we're going to stretch the home for another year. They're not ready. I'm not ready. He went for 3 years and separated himself, isolated himself, him and the Lord. That's a true quarantine. Not no TV, not no Facebook, even though it's good for, you know, Facebook Live. Not no movies, just him and the Lord. At that time, he didn't have the New Testament. He didn't have the words of Jesus, Mark, Luke, John. He didn't have Revelations. He didn't have all these things, but he did have the Old Testament. He had Moses. He had the prophets. He had Psalms. What he took with him in those 3 years, someone once recorded, he came back, the great Apostle Paul. He went with the law. He went with the prophets. He went with Psalms. And he took that with him, and he came back with Romans, with 1 Corinthians, with 2 Corinthians, with Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, Galatians. He came back with Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus. He came back with all these things within his heart. Because all he took with him was the Lord and the grace of God. 14 years ago, he learned the grace of the Lord. It's important to hear this night that what we need to do is learn the grace of God. I don't know where you find yourself, and you may be building. I'm going to ask that you stand there to your feet here this night. And I just want to encourage you that whatever you're going through, whether you're in the good fight, you're fighting the good fight, Apostle Paul said. He said, I don't beat the air aimlessly. I train myself like a good athlete. He said, because I want to win the race. And so here this night, I believe there's many that you desire. If that's your desire, I want you just to focus and right there where you're at, just close your eyes and open your hearts. As we just listen to this worship song, I want you to really focus on the grace of God. Allow this song just to minister into your life. And wherever you find yourself, I want you to see yourself walking closer to the Lord. Whatever trial, temptation, I want you to focus on the grace of God. You have not failed in the eyes of the Lord. The Bible says, although a righteous man falls seven times, he rises again. Here this night, it's an encouraging word that the Lord is with you. It's an encouraging word that God's grace is upon you, that all the Lord is looking for is someone to trust upon Him. As the Apostle Paul cried unto the Lord, and God said, you need this. I have to teach you this. You have to rely upon who I am. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 I'm going to share this story and we're going to close off. We're going to call it a night. I'm going to share this story. There's a story about a shepherd. And the shepherd had many sheep. And he was leading them and guiding them, training them, whatever you want to call it, feeding them. And just remain standing with me for a few more moments. And there was a particular sheep. And he kept falling astray. He wouldn't listen. That's why they kept him back in the home another year. And so he would guide them. They would all eat and the sheep would come in and he would come last and he would get lost and he'd get stuck. And the shepherd would look at him and say, what do I have to do? This, if I don't do something, the sheep will end up not only just getting injured, he might just die. He's not with the other flock. He separates himself. There's danger around the corner. There's wolves around the corner. The enemy is around the corner. What must I do to save this sheep? The next day came by and there was another shepherd passing by. He noticed that same sheep, the foot was broken. Had a broken foot and it was bandaged. And the shepherd asked him, what happened to the sheep? Why is the leg broken? And the shepherd responded, I broke it. He said, I did that to him. And he just looked at him and said, why would you do that? And he said, unless I did that, he would always leave my sight. But when I broke his foot, he knows who to come next to. And here this night, some of you just need to be broken before the Lord. Some of you, you need to allow God, you need to allow the Holy Spirit to truly break you, to remain close to who He is. So we're just going to play that song one more time. Allow the Lord to minister. I want you to really receive the grace of the Lord here this night. It's you and Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. We're going to close off here this night, right there where you stand, Matthew 11:28. Then Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. Right there where you're at. I'm going to pray with you. And before we pray out, if there's some right now that you want to rededicate your life to the Lord, that you want or you need, you desire of God's grace, I want you to say this prayer with me, and I want you just to rededicate your life to the Lord. Maybe there's some you don't know the Lord, and you say, you know what, I need God. There's things I've been going through in my life and throughout this whole virus and what's going on in the world, and I want an anchor, I want a hope. Listen, that hope is found in Jesus. Right there where you find yourself, just repeat after me. Say, Jesus, I thank you for your word. I ask of your grace. If you are real, I ask that you step into my life. I open my heart. Come into my life. Rescue me. Deliver me. I believe in who you are, and I want to walk with you. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I just pray here this night for those that are listening, those there in their houses, families, Lord, Father God, those parents and children and anyone, Lord, those that have tuned in and that are still watching. And my prayer is that we are able to rely on your grace. My prayer is that we focus not on the trial, but on the trial maker, who you are. The Lord, that you allow these things to happen for us to remain close to you. So, Father, hear this night. I pray of that extra grace upon our lives. I pray simply that you pour out exceedingly abundantly more than we can ask or imagine upon our lives, according to your power that is within us. Touch the lives of families that need of you. Touch loved ones. Touch those that need a healing, my God. Touch those that may be sick in body, Lord, Father, God. Touch those that may need a spiritual healing, a spiritual awakening. Your grace, my God, your grace. Father, hear this now. We love you. We thank you. I pray this in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. And everybody says, amen and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Come on, can you give Jesus a big, big hand of praise right there in your houses? Praise the Lord. How many are not ashamed to praise the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings? Praise God. How many can say hallelujah? Praise the Lord. Well, we want to just thank you. I want to thank you for joining in. Amen. For putting up with me throughout this message. And I just pray that you received and that you understand God's grace. And listen, any trial, I just want to let you know that God has already overseen that trial, that he knows what you can handle, and he's only trying to get you close to him. Once again, I thank you for joining in, and be with us this Sunday. We're going to be again right outside here. You can find us in the rear of the sanctuary. There will be parking in the front of the church. You can come and park in the front. We'll have ushers and greeters to simply guide you to the back. So be ready. Come and receive a word from the Lord. God bless you, and we love you.